For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. And, Ed, I guess for the next 15, 20 minutes, we're going to at least complain about a win and the way we won instead of a loss and the way that we lost.
That's progress.
It's I'm sure it's frustrating as it is with most of college Indy Nation. But you know, it's tough to sit there and complain when you know the fact of the matter is they didn't win the football game. They didn't win it the way that we wanted them to win it. But when it's all said and done, a W is a W. And you know, for Brian Kelly, I can for the most part side with him on that one.
Yeah, no, I think that's yeah.
However,
yeah,
having said
yeah.
that, a win is a win, but. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely some concerns. I mean, I'll let you take first stabs at it, but there's obviously plenty of concern to go around.
Well, I just think that when you put that much pressure on your defense, you're gonna run into problems. And, you know, there are still teams on this schedule. I especially am concerned about Air Force and Navy that unless you're able to put up some points and fairly easily, you could really be in some big trouble. So, you know, I think they'll win. You know, I think they'll beat Purdue. I don't think Wake Forest, you know, will be a roadblock. BC is struggling. But man, you know, you play some of these teams, and if you get down by a touchdown or two, and you just require your defense to be perfect, and your special teams are lackluster at best, you're really putting yourself in a tough spot, and that almost cost them the game on Saturday. You know, these mistakes, these errors, these penalties, etc., they really limit the margin for error. And man, there's going to be a game, the way that they're playing now, there's going to be a game that they're favored in the rest of the year that they're going to lose because of these mistakes and because of the fact that their defense isn't always going to be perfect. I mean, look at that one bad quarter against Michigan is probably the worst the defense has played in six or seven games now, and that's going to happen again, I think.
I will say this. I mean, clearly the defense has been absolutely stellar, especially after a turnover. You look at what they've done whenever we've turned the ball over, and they have stood and stood fast and stood tall. And you can't expect them to do that game in and game out. You know, they forced a 45-yard field goal that really should have been a 25-yarder in that first quarter. But, you know, definitely I think the concerns coming, you know, we talked about, you know, seeing improvement in these games from week to week. And, you know, I don't think we saw that. I mean, the defense, again, has been the story.
Yeah, Gary Gray played right a little now, bit better. I think the interference call he had on him was quite questionable.
That was a bad call. Yeah. I thought it was a bad call. Yeah. It was a bad call.
Did you see that? I mean, the tackle that Harrison Smith made in the backfield was when he just laid out his body kind of parallel to the ground and, you know, got that. I think it was Graham, their stud running back. I mean, that was a
was
heck
Graham,
of a tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
really
there were a couple
was.
Plays
yeah.
like that.
You know, there were some great plays. You know, there's some other things that got me concerned though, and I think it clearly is. I'm totally convinced now. The mentality of this football team just isn't quite there yet with an all-out win attitude. And what I mean by that, I mean kind of like an all-out killer instinct. And I'll give you a couple examples. First off, we knew that Pittsburgh was going to pooch punt. They've done it before. It's just an obvious play, and there was a certain situation in the game where it was third and forever. And, you know, they were out of field goal range, and you pretty much knew it was coming. Harrison Smith had all day to back up and wait for that kick. And all he's got to do, there's going to be nobody around. On a pooch punt, there's going to be nobody around you anywhere close. We got to have the kind of athletes to just step up and fair catch that. I don't expect him to catch it and run or anything like that, but we got to at least put a stop. And if he catches that ball and fair catches it, it's at the 20. Instead, we're at the 2. And it's little things like that that add up during a game that truly
I
do
completely
make the
agree,
difference.
Mike. This attention to detail. What about getting some momentum by getting a score, and then Brinza kicks it out of bounds? I mean, I told somebody today, if I had $1 for every time that happened in the Charlie Weiss era, you and I could have a pretty nice steak dinner, because that kind of stuff happened all the time. And he's been really good on the kickoffs, but to me, it's not just the mistakes; it's the inopportune time that they happen. I mean, the timing of some of these things,
right.
Whether it's a holding penalty or that hands to the face, that was on a pretty big play, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's just those.
Yeah,
that was a huge play. I mean, Deaver or Dever, whatever you
right.
pronounce your name. That's the announcer
right.
getting it
wrong.
Right. How many times I'm now getting it wrong. That the attention to detail, but that, it gets to be the discipline aspect. The reason he went hands to the face is because he didn't have his feet set underneath him. And, had he been disciplined and attacking with the right technique, he doesn't need to put his hands to the face. Instead, it's a lazy move, and he got flagged for it. And it was incredibly inopportune. You look at the – understand the situation. It's 7-6. Your defense just shut them out. I don't have a problem at all going after the punter, but for God's sakes, make a play, but don't rough the punter. It's not that hard to not rough the punter. And, it just is a killer mistake that you got to be a good enough football team to go after it in that instance, but then also to be smart about it and not make a stupid mistake. And maybe you can chalk that one up to aggressiveness, and so be it, but I just think the little things on this football team have added up to where they're just not there 100% yet. And unfortunately, I think a lot of this is going to fall to Tommy Rees for the next couple games here, because he's a quarterback that now can clearly make the right call when he's reading the defense prior to the snap. From that point forward, that's where he's got to improve, because he's not there yet. The second the ball is snapped, he's not exactly making the right reads, and he's clearly not making the right throws.
I had not thought of Urban Meyer made a pretty good point during the broadcast, which I hadn't kind of occurred to me, about one of the downsides of the shotgun being that split second that you take your eyes off the defense when the ball's coming back to you. Which really doesn't happen, I guess, with a center snap. And as an old quarterback, I guess that those nanoseconds mean everything. And if they shift, or if they move, or if they kind of change up what they're going to do, and you're not kind of doing that head up, looking around at the same time the ball's coming back to you, you can suddenly see a whole different scene in front of you, I suppose, or at least enough of a different scene in front of you to change, to confuse you a little bit. It seemed to that be happening a little bit. But we should talk about Tommy Rees a little bit, because
you just hit it on the head, because that is exactly what you just basically explained what his problem is. His problem is that once the ball snapped, he's already got his mind made up. He doesn't have the ability right now to read the defense and to go with what is going to be the highest probable percentage attempt pass for him to make. In other words, there were several mistakes that he made in Saturday's game, and I don't want to nitpick the guy to death, but that interception that he threw down to Eifert, he knew that nobody was on the outside between Eifert and the sidelines. That's where you got to throw the football.
Do it, Mike. Well, but I put some of that on Eifert. I mean,
he could have come back, but not
well,
really.
Well,
It seemed like he was waiting
a while, and I think that first of all, on that play, I thought Rees did a pretty good job to step up in the pocket and avoid the rush. He was pressured.
He did.
And you're right. He's got to throw it further to the sidelines. Is that the point you're making, that he's got to whip it out there?
Yeah. Because looking there, no one's there.
You're right. So that's a physical mistake, right? I mean, it's not.
Yeah, it's a physical mistake. Now, you could argue that Eifert should have come back, but that ball was horribly underthrown. With a very little zip on it. And it kind of looked to me like he did get his arm brushed a little bit as he was coming through.
Uh-huh.
When he stepped up, he did get brushed a little bit. That maybe took his wind out a little bit. I don't know. But the point is that, and that's a nitpick mistake from a physical standpoint, but clearly what isn't happening, and I think the teams have picked up on this. I really do. I think teams have picked up that, we're not going to give him the read before the ball snapped. He's not going to check off into a run play or a run to the weak side. We're not going to let him have that luxury. However, he better had come to the table and read the defense after the ball snapped, because if he doesn't, then we're going to come after him. And it's going to be a long day for Tommy Rees, because he's going to see nothing but that. And this is how you grow up as a college quarterback. He better figure this out, because if he doesn't, it's going to be a long, long season.
I kind of tend to think that he has the ability to get this figured out. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think – I think it's experience, I think it's kind of seen some of this stuff. I mean, the concern I had about Dane is that – it just seems like he has less self-confidence once the ball is snapped than Tommy does. Tommy doesn't necessarily make the right decision or see everything or make the best throw, but he doesn't seem too much to be lacking in terms of doubting himself. That in other words, his mistakes that he makes seem to me to be mistakes of trying to make a play, right? In other words, like. I don't want to get too crazy about this, Brett Favre threw some terrible interceptions in his career. I mean, god-awful interceptions, trying to thread the needle, trying to sling it. You know, I mean, he just made some terrible, terrible plays. But you lived with it, because he also made some really good ones, and he was money. You know, he was pretty clutch. And when you think about what Tommy did Saturday and what he's done in terms of, I mean, he really hasn't lost a football game yet. He's done everything that he's supposed to do. And maybe he's just one of those guys that wins games. I mean, look at it this way. You've got a pretty experienced Pitt quarterback, not a good quarterback, not a guy who's going to play in the NFL. But, you know, he's 22 for 30, no interceptions, throws a touchdown pass. But when the game was on the line, he took two terrible sacks. I mean, terrible sacks. And our guy, you know, less experienced, kind of still learning, but when the game was on the line, he took us down and got a touchdown. You know, and he's done that a few times now. So when it matters, it just seems to me like, you know, you could be doing a lot worse with the guy that's taking snaps for you right now than Tommy Rees. And he, he's kind of getting, I mean, I'm not ready to throw him under the bus by a long shot yet until he really, makes one of these errors during a time of the game where it's, you know, it costs us the game. He's still got a lot of slack with me.
He does, and I'm not saying that he's not capable. I think he totally is. I think the frustrating part is that he's just not there quite yet. But this is one of those things that, you know, I think that the best thing that Tommy Rees can do is literally to sit there and watch film and watch it and watch it and think about, because he can put himself in the situation of what I was thinking when the ball was snapped on that particular play. And then he can see where the defense moves and how it shifts and where the gaps are, and then that's the stuff that you eventually start to figure out.
How do we fly Gruden in for a couple of days, sitting in the film room?
Exactly.
With him? Can you arrange that?
I thought some of the best advice that Clausen gave Chris, although it didn't work out for Chris, but he told him, if you do one thing, watch film, watch film, watch film. I mean, he just flat out said, you've got to watch film, because what ends up happening is the game slows down for you. And the second the game slows down for you, that's when you can make those reads. Now he does need some more work on just feeling the rush, because I still don't think he's quite comfortable with that either as well. But the fact is that once the ball snapped, and I think they ought to work on this all week long. You know, quit trying to make the change up call, because I think what defenses are, Pittsburgh did it. You know, Purdue's going to watch the game film of that. Purdue is going to come to the table with showing us one thing, and as soon as Tommy goes to his cadence, and then as soon as he starts the audible, they're just going to immediately switch into a totally different play that they had
called. Right, and it's all the more important for him to improve in that area, because like you said, his liabilities are that he's just not going to extend the play, you know, like another guy, like maybe a Dane can do, or we'll see, you know, Everett or Andrew Hendricks can do. He's not that athlete. He's not a bad athlete. And he's shown some decent instincts at times in the pocket, but it's just not his forte. And so it just makes it all the more critical that he makes reads, and that he's got his head up and kind of gets this figured out on the mental aspect. And like you said, whether it's watching film and just getting those games under his belt, because he's not going to extend plays like some other guys.
Yeah, and right. He did make a nice run for the first time at the golf season. There was about an 8-yard run, which was huge, because I do think teams as well
are going
to just let him go. I think they're just going to say, "Look, man, let him scramble. If he scrambles,
that's right." And we don't need him to be Denard Robinson. But when he's got 19 yards ahead of him, and he can get 12 out of it for a first down, we need him to do that.
Yep. Exactly. Or if you can just every now and
then. Hey, how about the sneak? How about the sneak? We ran the sneak a couple times.
Yeah, nothing wrong. Right. That's right. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I do think that is the missing ingredient for me. I think if Tommy can just settle down and get to a spot where he can start reading some plays, if I were the coaching staff, I would work on just a couple things. I'd work on a couple routes where you've got an underneath and a post, or a backside corner route where he's got to read between the two. Get him start to do those kinds of things and get comfortable with it, and it'll start opening up for him. But more than anything, I think if he just watches film, that's where you can sit there and pick it apart and explain it and look at the play and go over it and say, now look, here's what the defense is doing. Here in this situation is where the gaps are. This is what you need to be looking for. And once they do that, then you're going to see us put some points on the board. And then it's going to be interesting, because if you put him in a situation where he's putting points on the board, and somehow, some way, we find a way to not turn the ball over, this is going to be a dangerous football team. They are going to be flat.
They have the athletes on the other side of the ball. I mean, I think you could make a pretty good argument that our weakest link on the offensive side of the ball, you know, the skill positions, is the quarterback. And that's not because he's bad. It's just because he's the least experienced, and obviously it's the most critical position. But when you look at Floyd and Eifert and Sierre and T.J. Jones, I mean, that's a really good complement of skill players. And, you know, Tommy's just got to step it up a little bit. And like you said, number one, ball security, and number two, getting it, spreading it around, getting into the hands of the playmakers. We ran for almost 200 yards again on Saturday. I mean, that's good work. I mean, we have not run the ball like this in a number of years now.
Yeah, and in fact, I even thought there was more.
I did too. Yeah.
Run where but there was a couple spots where I was like, man, I was a little surprised that we went for the pass on that one. But you know, in any event, I do think that the only other thing that did surprise me a little bit, and I know the announcers made mention of this, but I was kind of surprised that we didn't drag Floyd a little bit more. You know, when you got that over the top coverage, the way you beat that is you start dragging him. You just have him come 3 yards off the line of scrimmage and then cut all the way across the field. Maybe Michael's thinking about bigger days down the road. He doesn't want any part of going over the middle. But the fact of the matter is, I think, you know, they could easily free him up a little bit. And if teams are going to stack us up like that over the top, then, you know, cut him on in and have him catching an 8-yard dump over the middle and you know, get, because he has been running with the football after the catch. You know, I mean, he's a guy that can make some plays with that. But, you know, I agree with you. I think just, you know, offensively on that side of the ball, I mean, obviously Jonas Gray has proven himself to be a running back. We've got two in the backfield that are totally capable at a program like ours. Eifert is obviously one of the best tight ends, arguably, in the country. And, you know, there's not a big, huge drop-off when you got Theo Riddick and T.J. Jones opposite of Michael Floyd. So, you know, I do think this comes down to Tommy Rees, and I think the second that he starts getting more and more comfortable and that experience is there, you're going to see a lot better production out of the offense.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's going to be like a, you know, if he's going to have kind of his watershed game, his kind of like signature game, where, you know, he kind of puts up, I don't know how to say it, Brian Kelly quarterback type numbers, you know, where he's like 28 for 36 for 384 and 4 touchdowns and no picks, or if it's just going to be, he's just going to be workmanlike his entire career. You know, nothing particularly flashy, but a whole lot of wins. I think you can compare him to somebody like, I mean, I think Notre Dame fans would love this if it happened, but, you know, something like a Greg McElroy at Alabama, you know, when they went 14-0, and then his senior year, I think they were like 10-3. But he was much more of a game manager. Now, of course, he had Mark Ingram and he had, you know, Trent Richardson or whatever. He had some terrific players around him, but he was not, I think he ended up maybe being a seventh or eighth round draft pick. And I think he might even be on the Jets roster. I'm not sure, but yeah, but you know what I mean. He's not going to be.
No, right?
He
you're basically saying don't have him win the game, just don't lose it for us. And you know, and I think that I would agree. I think that's where Tommy's at this moment. He's probably teetering more on losing it for us, but he's been a gamer. I mean, he has won those games when
he took a shot again Saturday. And do you remember that? I think it was in the first half, and he really got drilled.
He did. He took a.
He was shaking his head a little bit. But you didn't after the next after you saw him kind of getting the cobwebs out. You didn't notice it the rest of the game. I mean, he's a pretty tough kid. I give him that. I mean, he's.
No, he is. Yeah, he's hung in there for sure, and he's made some. Those are some heck of a throws. I mean, he threaded the needle. I mean, that took some boys to be able to. I mean, those were real close, especially.
I don't know if that was a really ill-advised.
Yeah,
might
sure
have been an ill-advised throw, but it worked in our favor.
But he
and
got
it was
in there.
Pretty good for Eifert to hang on. I thought Eifert almost dropped a 2-point conversion too.
He did. He almost did.
But.
Probably expecting something to that, yeah. But didn't come. But yeah, he did almost drop that actually. And what a huge play that was. And you know, the last point is I mean, although we thought that we'd have automatic field goals all year long, what a killer that is to have those misses. Especially something where these guys sit there all day long and practice this, and all of a sudden, right during the game time, this is another point I'm trying to make about this team just mentally not there from a killer instinct standpoint. You can't come over the ball and snap it back as a wobbler. I mean, that's just, you know, as a snapper, you know, that is what you do. You get in the game, there's only so many plays. How can you snap the football?
Especially when you're getting a full ride for doing that stuff. I mean, you know, we've got a pretty long history of walk-ons who made perfect snaps their entire time, or just about. I mean, you know, now we've got another snapper coming in. So I don't know, but I agree. I just, something is just not right with special teams, and I don't know if it's Elston or, you know, maybe it's something that just takes place over time, and it's the coverage has been pretty decent for the most part, and Brins has been pretty decent for the most part, and I guess we're not talking about Ben Turk today, so all your fans out there are going to be disappointed, Mike. But
no kidding. He must have been listening to the show, I guess. I didn't really get a chance to see his.
He didn't really hurt us, I guess, so we didn't notice it.
He definitely didn't hurt us. I was trying to see, you know, Sully went to the game. I'd have to ask him if the ball actually turned over, you know, when he was punting, were there actually balls that were turning over, you know, spirals. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that these are the kinds of things that this football team's got to wake up and start getting their arms around and bringing that killer instinct where we're just executing play in and play out. And over the course of a game, you're going to beat the teams that you should beat. But when you make mistakes and you aren't there mentally and you let them back in, that's where a team like Navy, Air Force, those aren't the kind of guys.
I could not agree more.
So, well, let's hope that there's better days for Tommy Rees. I do think they will get there. It's just going to be a little bit of a learning experience and maybe a little bit of anxiety for us as we sit there and watch.
It'd be nice to play really solid this coming Saturday. You know, kind of going into the Air Force game and have a little momentum, and hopefully maybe that's just the ticket for Tommy to get off to a good start, and you know, maybe even have a game without any turnovers. I think that'd be a great place to start.
Oh, that'd be unbelievable. I'd take that all day long. All right, good deal. Let's leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.